Appreciate the message that's gone before us this morning. Pray the Lord to continue to bless. You know, when we think about the preaching of the gospel and what is the appropriate response? When on the day of Pentecost, as Brother Kenneth mentioned, when they said the Lord blessed the Apostle Peter to preach with such power on that event, there were some that were pricked in the heart. Right. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And the gospel should always bring forth that response. So on the day of Pentecost, when he said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." Okay? Now, when we think about that response, that's for those who have not been baptized. All right? But what if you have been? Well, you don't need to be baptized again. All right? But there needs to be a response to the gospel. And if we've heard it, you know, if what we've heard this morning should rejoice our heart to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one that came into this world to suffer and die to redeem us from our sin, well, to be renewed in our vigor and our faith, to go forth from this place today and serve him better than we have before. Okay? So it should stir us up and cause us, faith worketh by love. All right? That's what Paul told the brethren at Galatia. Faith which worketh by love. All right? So when we hear a message like we've heard this morning, it ought to stir up our heart and cause us to remember more of why we love the Lord and why we're thankful for what he's done for us, so that we can leave this place and live in such a way that's pleasing unto him. And, you know, we all need to rededicate ourselves every day, don't we? All right? But if we haven't been baptized, then that's the response that the gospel ought to bring forth. As Brother Tyler came forth recently asking to be baptized. You know, I'm thankful he didn't say, "I want to be a member of the church," which is sort of the same, but it's not as focused as it is when you say you want to be baptized. Because that's the proper response for someone who hasn't been, when they come to the understanding that they need to. If they come to that understanding that they need to be baptized, then bless your hearts, that's what we want to address, isn't it? That's the proper response to the gospel. All right? So for the remainder of the time this morning, I want to take this opportunity for a teaching moment. I know we know about it, but let's be reminded about what baptism is all about. All right? Because we all need to be reminded from time to time. We all need to remember why it was that we were baptized. So let's begin with the Lord Jesus Christ being baptized. All right? In Matthew chapter 3 and Mark chapter 1. I can't read them both at the same time, but let's go to Matthew 3. Matthew 3, I'll begin in verse 13. "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him." Now, I want you to notice something here. Do you know how far it was for Jesus to come from where he was to Jordan to be baptized? Well, I'm not hearing anything, so I'll tell you. You know, we don't know exactly where, you know, we didn't have GPS back then. We couldn't exactly give you to the tenth or whatever. But it was about 70 miles that Jesus traveled to go to be baptized of John. Well, did he really have to go to all that trouble? Did he really have to? I mean, it'd take about 2 weeks on foot for him to be there. John was the only person on this planet who had the authority to baptize. The prophets had spoken that Malachi spoke of how that, Isaiah spoke about the servant crying in the wilderness, prepare you the way of the Lord. And then Malachi speaks about before the coming of that great and dreadful day that he would send Elijah the prophet. Okay, Jesus explained to us when he came that that prophecy of Elijah coming was fulfilled by John the Baptist. God sent John the Baptist to prepare the way of the Lord. He was the messenger that was sent. Now, Jesus was the messenger of the covenant that Malachi spoke about, but John the Baptist was the one that God sent to prepare the way of the Lord. And so John the Baptist was the only one qualified on the face of the earth to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Jesus got there, John said, wait a minute, I have need to be baptized of you. We understand that, don't we? But Jesus said, suffer it to be so, John, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. In other words, then John the Baptist agreed to baptize the Lord Jesus. And so it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. Now, there's several passages, but I'm going to let this one suffice. This says that they came up out of the water. Well, that means that they went down into the water. And I don't remember if Brother Kenneth read that part, but if you go back to Acts chapter 8, where Philip baptized the eunuch, they went down into the water and they came up out of the water. That's why we are called Baptists. That's why, you know, baptism is when you take someone and you lower them into the water and raise them up out of the water. Okay? We don't sprinkle. We're Baptists. All right? So baptizing requires that mode. So we had John the Baptist, who was the only one who was authorized. Okay? He was the proper authority. They went into the water and out of the water. That's a proper mode. Okay? So when you think about baptism here, you see that from the very beginning, when Jesus was baptized, he's showing forth what that represents. Going down into the water, coming up out of the water. In other words, what that prefigured was that he was going to be crucified, he was going to die, he would be buried, and he would rise again. All right? So when we experience baptism for ourselves, then we come to a proper authority, all right? And we go through that proper mode, which lowers us into the water, which is a picture of our death and burial, and then resurrection, when we're raised up out of the water. There's two things there. That first of all, it shows us that we want to be identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that died for us. He's the one that saved us. All right? We want to be identified. We want to bear his name before others. All right? And so, just as Jesus was baptized, and as we're commanded to be baptized, if we are believers, if we understand the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as a matter of fact, that's something else with that Ethiopian eunuch. When they came to water, it says, what does hinder me to be baptized? Okay. Remember what Philip said? Nothing. You know, did Philip say, why, nothing hinders you. Let's just go ahead. No. There was one condition before being baptized. And Philip said, if thou believest. We practice believers' baptism, okay? This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is not a social club. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we we administer the ordinances of the church, then we have to go by this word. We don't have the right to do just any old thing that we want to. We have to go by this. If we're going to claim to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to follow his word. So when Philip told the eunuch, when the eunuch said, "Here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart thou that Jesus is..." Let me read that. Let me just read it. I think I'm leaving out a word. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." All right? That's what he said. If thou believest. And here's what the eunuch, how he responded. And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God."
Amen.
That's the right answer. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. All right? When he said that, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and baptized them. And when they were come up out of the water, okay, you see again the proper mode. All right? So when we think about, and by the way, the Spirit caught Philip up, and he went on his way. And the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. All right? So the proper response then to the gospel, when it becomes good news to us, is to be baptized. All right? And so we notice how Jesus was baptized. And if you follow through the scriptures, you'll find that there were the other examples of baptism showed us the very same pattern. And every time, it's a picture of the death and burial and resurrection. All right, so we believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And if we believe that he died for us, then bless your heart, someday he's going to come back and raise us from the dead. If we happen to be alive and remain when he comes back, we're going to be changed, fashioned like in his glorious body. Take us home to be with him. All right, but we believe that Jesus died and rose again from the dead. That's our hope of salvation. All right. And it's good news, isn't it? All right? Because not everybody's going to be saved. Okay? Judgment is coming. Okay? But if we believe Jesus is the Son of God, God has had mercy upon us and blessed us to know him and to know that we don't have to fear that judgment because Jesus has already faced it for us. That's good news. There's a lot of God's people that are hearing a message from the pulpits in this country and around the world that you better get right with the Lord or you're going to go to hell. Well, bless your hearts. If you understand what the scripture says, you understand what Brother Kenneth has preached to us this morning, that God does that work of grace in our hearts. And if you have that hope that Jesus died for you, you will be with him in glory. Because he's already faced that judgment for us. Now, we do stand before the judgment seat of Christ every day. We're supposed to walk in a way that's pleasing unto him. All right? And there may be times when the Lord has to chasten us for getting out of the way. But he does it in love, doesn't he? Because he loves us and he wants us to come back into the right way. All right? All right, so I noticed what the scripture says about Jesus himself being baptized. Now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. I was going to go to Acts chapter 8, but Brother Kenneth's already covered that, so that's fine. We'll go to 1 Peter. There's other places that we can preach from. 1 Peter chapter 3. Peter is going to bring up baptism. All right? And he's going to use it in the setting of reminding that there were those in Noah's day. Remember Noah? We're going way back in the Bible, aren't we? All right, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What else did Noah do? He built an ark. Why? Because judgment was coming upon the earth. That the people, the every imagination of the hearts of men were only evil continually. That's what the Bible said. Can you imagine? I mean, it kind of sounds like today, doesn't it? But it said every imagination of the hearts of men were only evil continually. That is a direct quote. It must have been bad in Noah's day. Well, it's bad today, all right? So what Peter's doing here is he's reaching back to when God judged the earth the first time and telling us about the evil that existed then and how that, and by the way, the scripture says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness, all right? So Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah was different. All right? And God called Noah to build an ark. Do you remember why? Judgment was coming. God was going to flood the earth. And God told Noah to build the ark for himself and his family. And then he took pairs of animals. Okay? We don't have time to get into a lot of that. But anyway... Well, since I mentioned it, stirred your mind. Of the clean beasts, 7 pairs, not just 2. Of the clean beasts, there was 7 pairs of each animal. And of the unclean, there was 1 pair. Okay. All right, so God called Noah to build that ark. And the scripture says he obeyed. Hebrews 11 says Noah obeyed to the saving of his house. I want to get that real quick. Noah obeyed God to the saving of his house. All right? It didn't save them for heaven. It saved them from the judgment that came upon the earth. Again, like Brother Ken said, it was a timely salvation. But it saved them. And when you train up your children in the nurtured admonition of the Lord and you teach them what's right and they're able to grasp it and follow it, it will save them from, like was said in Acts chapter 2, this untoward generation. This generation that doesn't care for godliness, that goes away from God. All right? So Peter, in 1 Peter chapter 3, hope you found it by now, Peter is comparing that old world and the wickedness that was there and how they were warned about judgment coming. And he's using it for those in that day because judgment was coming upon Jerusalem in 70 AD. All right? So I'm going to have to jump into the middle of this. But he says, I'm in 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. When did Christ preach to those spirits in prison? Well, if there's any real preaching done, it was by the Spirit of Christ. Remember, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So it was the Spirit of Christ in him in that day that preached unto them. Okay, that warned them. All right, of the judgment coming. All right. So he says, which sometime, verse 20, which sometime were disobedient when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. While the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. That ark represented something. Those 8 souls, by the way, there was a whole lot of animals in there, but it didn't say they had a soul. Just kind of leave that with you. 8 souls were saved in the ark. He says, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. In other words, when a person is baptized, that's not going to wash away their sins. There's a whole lot of folks that preach that you're saved by water baptism, Well, there's a salvation in it, but it's a timely thing. Just like Noah's family were saved from the flood, bless your heart, salvation or the baptism and arising and walking in newness of life will save us from this untoward generation. When we take the name of Jesus upon us and we follow him and serve him in a way that's pleasing in his sight, it saves us from a lot of bad decisions. It saves us from a lot of bad situations that we can get into this life. All right? So we need that type of salvation, don't we? We need the good influence of the Word of God. We need the good influence of following the Spirit of God. We need the good influence of God's people in the church, so that we can walk in a way that's pleasing unto him. So he says, the like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. What is he talking about there? That baptism is not washing away the filth of the flesh, but it's an answer of a good conscience toward God. In other words, when we hear the gospel preached, and it speaks about the righteousness of God, and we have that conviction within us that we're a sinner, that we come short, that we're not perfect, that our sins are before us, we feel that guilt, that sting of conviction, don't we? All right? Which should serve to cause us to want to do better. All right? But if we haven't followed the Lord in baptism, then when we have that conviction and we come desiring baptism and desiring, you know, confessing. By the way, confess means to say the same thing. Confess means to say the same thing. In other words, we speak with our mouth what we feel in our heart. So if we feel the conviction of our sins, the only answer to that conviction is that Jesus Christ has put away our sins. And if we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then that is evidence that he has put away our sin. That's the only way we're going to get a good, the answer of a good conscience. Before that, all we have is conviction. But Jesus Christ has provided the remedy for that. And when we come desiring baptism and ask to be baptized, then bless your hearts, we're taking the name of Christ upon us. We're uniting with other believers who have been baptized. And by the way, baptism is the first ordinance of the church. That's how we become a member of his church, the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? It's not our church, it's his church. And the only way to honor him is to do things the way he says so in his word. It's an ordinance. It's not a rule that somebody's come up with. It's an it's ordained of God in order to be a part of his church. Now, it's our response, okay? He does the work of causing us to be born again. He calls us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He's the one that gives us light. And what we're doing then, when we're able to hear his gospel, is respond to it. And as one way Jesus put it, take up our cross and follow him. Okay? So being baptized is our response to what he's already done in our heart. Okay, so we're confessing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God because we already believe it in our heart. And we're speaking it with our mouth. And that has a lot to do with what you find over in Romans chapter 10, by the way. It has to be in the heart first before we can speak it with the mouth. All right, so Peter said that baptism, that ark of Noah's day, wherein eight souls were saved from the flood that was coming upon the earth, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Bless your hearts. If he hadn't come forth out of the tomb, there'd be no reason for us to be baptized. But he did. bless your hearts. And he's the only one that ever came forth out. Now, Lazarus came out, but he came out at the command of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord Jesus is the only one who ever came out of the tomb by his own power, by his own ability. There are a lot of religious leaders in the world. They've lived their life, and if they're gone, then their bodies are still in the grave somewhere, or whatever they did with it, all right? But bless your hearts, the Lord Jesus Christ is the only one who came and said he had life within himself, and said, no man hath the power to take my life. He says, I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it up again. And he showed us. And that's why we're baptized in his name. Because if we're in him, then he's already died and rose again for us. And that someday he's going to come back and take us home to be with him. All right, very quickly here. I got another passage I want to look at. In Romans chapter 6, Paul has begun to, in the book of Romans here, he's begun to speak about grace, he's begun to speak about sin, and how that this chapter, by the way, he'll end up, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. All right? That's what we have in Christ, being in Christ, being chosen in him, and the Lord giving us his spirit. All right? We have eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. But back up in chapter 6. Let me see here. It's kind of hard to jump in the middle of this. Beginning in verse 3. Romans 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Okay. When you're placed under that water, that's a picture of being baptized into his death. All right. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. All right, there's a lot that's involved in this passage, but here's what I want to get here. We're baptized. We're lowered into the water, a picture of death, but we don't leave them there. We raise them up, okay? So when we raise them up, for what? Well, we have confessed that we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that we believe that when he died for me, and when he arose for me. And so if we're going to go through baptism and be lowered into the water and then raised up, when we're raised up, we want to live a new life. All the things of the past are behind us. We have the opportunity now. Now, I'm not saying we're going to live a perfect life from now on. We sin. We have to confess that. We have to pray to God for forgiveness. But we're saying that we believe that Jesus died for us, so we want to rise up and live for him. So we want to go forth in newness of life, trusting the Lord, looking to him. And that's what we should do as we are raised up. So he says, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. That's our hope, isn't it? We're baptized in his name because he's the one that died and rose again for us. And we want to take his name upon us, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I'm going to stop right there. Bless your hearts. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, he paid our sin debt. Now, he's the only one that could do that. Like Brother Ken said, we're not pardoned, we're redeemed. We're paid for. He died and redeemed us from our sins. He paid the debt in full. He didn't just brush it aside. He paid for it. We belong to him. And so we want to live like we belong to him. We want to serve one another like we belong to him. We want to follow this word, rise and walk in newness of life. Okay? We had our conversation in times past, Paul said to the Ephesians, walking in the ways of the world. But bless your hearts now. He's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. We're to arise and walk in newness of life. And so as we have the privilege this afternoon, or in a little while, of administering the ordinance of baptism, I wanted to take this opportunity as a teaching moment to remind those who have been baptized, and for those who haven't, that's a proper response to the preaching of the gospel. And so if there's others today who would desire to come and take up your cross and follow him in baptism, that opportunity will be yours while we close the service here and sing a song and give you the opportunity to shake hands. That's the time. That's our time that we publish what we say an open door of the church. Okay? And that's our opportunity to come forth and desiring to take up your cross and follow him in baptism. I hope that we've stirred your mind and touched your heart this morning. I hope that we've reminded you of some of those scriptures. There's others, but the time is gone, and maybe we'll speak more about some of the other aspects of it later. But as we think about Jesus traveled a long distance on foot, evidently, to be baptized of John the Baptist, because God sent John to call others to repentance. All right? Jesus commanded us to be baptized. The gospel calls upon us to be baptized. Okay? And when we are, then we're to arise and walk in newness of life. May God help us each one to be renewed in our spirit, to be reminded of our responsibility to walk before God in a way that's pleasing unto him, because we love him, because we're thankful that he has saved us from the wrath to come. May God bless you is our prayer.